Oh, is it over? Oh my. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. I want to apologize for sending you to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to discuss conservatism, and we're going to ask the question: are conservatives out of touch, or are conservatives crazy? What is going on with the conservative media today? And while I don't strictly limit myself to this definition, I do find it very interesting that when you look at the people on the far left equation, you look at people even sometimes in the center, whether they be libertarians or anarchists, whatever you want to call them, a lot of people know what they believe. They can immediately identify a lot of the things they believe. And a lot of times, when you look at the conservative media, a lot of them are all over the place. Or, in my opinion, they pick the wrong hills to plant a flag on and say that we're nothing's going to get by here. This is our last stand. A lot of times, people use conservatism as a grift. And we can even look at a lot of what the Daily Wire is doing, in my opinion. And not all of them are bad people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you look at how they're treating Candace Owens. You look at how they, especially guys like Matt Walsh, in my opinion, how they picture and put marriage out there as like a, yeah, it could ruin your whole life. It can cause you to get divorced. It could, if it ends badly, it could ruin your life. But so what? Just do it anyway. You know, and strawmanning the opposition, like in that one roundtable video they did. Ugh, that was a disgrace. And then Candace Owens had more balls than any of them did while they were drinking liquor and smoking cigars, totally jacking Andrew Tate's platform. You know, the classic grifting behavior. But again, we need to ask this question: are conservatives out of touch? Because a lot of them, they talk about tradition. Tradition, I believe, is important to an extent. However, when you don't understand and adapt to the world you're living in, to an extent, you almost have to create a parallel society, and we can't do that today without founding a cult, which I don't think anybody should do because it's just historically not ending very well. So let's look at what people define conservatism as, just so we can all get a definition that we're all on the same page with. Let's listen to this video and let's get started.
Conservatism is a political philosophy that values tradition, advocates for gradual change, and emphasizes the importance of maintaining social order. Rooted in a desire to preserve the wisdom of past generations, it champions the continuity of established institutions and customs. At its core, conservatism is marked by a cautious approach to societal changes, preferring evolution over revolution to ensure stability and cohesion within society. Conservatives advocate for a limited government, asserting that minimal state intervention allows for greater personal freedom and economic prosperity. Economic freedom is also a key tenet, with free market principles favored for fostering innovation and growth. In essence, conservatism is about balancing the respect for historical legacies with the practicalities of modern governance, striving for a society that honors its past while cautiously navigating the future. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to.
Okay, I agree with that definition to an extent. Let me know, ladies and gentlemen of the show, let me know what you think. I think it's extremely important that we have this conversation because too many of us, I think, we don't truly understand how to define ourselves, much less the people we agree with. We just listen to people that we like, we take a soundbite of them, and we say, oh, I agree with that, so then therefore I agree with this person, or I agree with this movement, or this organization, or whatever. And it's very easy for us to then, by doing that, become out of touch because we're not consuming the overall media and we're not understanding where everybody else is coming from. One of the biggest things that I think conservatives in general need to fix, otherwise they sound out of touch, is a lot of the more traditional conservative types, like Matt Walsh, I mentioned earlier, the Ben Shapiro types, and even some of the other guys. I don't know everybody's names, but a lot of people champion marriage as if marriage is going to save civilization. My friends, I've talked about relationships very heavily on this show, and I'll continue to do it. I wrote a whole book about going your own way as a Christian spiritual guy, Biblical Bachelor. It's in the description if you want to check it out on Audible or you want to check it out in a hard book, hard paperback copy. But the reason we need to discuss this is when you don't adapt, you force yourself into a pigeonhole. You force yourself into, I believe this, but I don't know how to live. How can I actually practice what I believe and make it feasible? That's one of the biggest complaints I have with conservatism today, is we are so overrun, even in the red areas of the country. We still have no-fault divorce. We still have a lot of universities that are very blue. And this, we want to pretend like we're living in a bubble of agreement. Nobody should ever live in a bubble of people who agree with them. I don't. I have multiple people in my life who disagree with me politically, ideologically, and everything, but that's good because iron sharpens iron. And too many conservatives, especially in the media, I'm sorry to tell you, they sound so out of touch, as do a lot of pastors as well. They sound out of touch. They've been out of the game. They don't have a true stethoscope to hear the heartbeat of the country, the heartbeat of the nation. And I would like to think that I have one of the best stethoscopes in the business. Reason being, I'm in these streets. I go on dates. I understand the mindset of women. I understand the mindset of a lot of people who are more liberal, people who are more conservative, because I have these tough conversations with people, and I try to make it as little anecdotal as possible. But when you look at social media and you see the perversions, you see the fact that people, whether they be successful, high-class, A-tier, S-tier celebrities, down to the average Joe who works at, you know, a normal everyday job, at the 9-to-5 or as a contractor or whatever, is going through so many divorce traumas. They're going through baby mama terrorist culture. They're going through these very... This once was an underground thing. Divorce was always around, but it wasn't the monstrosity, the juggernaut that it is today, mainly because of no-fault divorce. And when you bring up these topics, a lot of people immediately check out. They want to make things, oh, it's always a man's fault. Well, how is that possible? If most of the divorces are filed by women, which even the normies are agreeing that it is the women who are filing the divorces, instead of saying, wait a minute, maybe we have a part to play in this. Maybe we're doing something wrong. They immediately blame the man. They blame the person who has the penis. They immediately blame them. When 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even a year ago when I started this show, no one was agreeing. I would put out these statistics of, hey, 80% of marriages are being filed, the divorces are filed by women. Women would come to my channel, women would come on my Twitter page, and they'd be like, this is not true, you just hate women. And then now you have women literally on TikTok talking about how, oh, this is, yeah, these statistics are real, but it's not our fault. But the men need to step up. But, see, now they're making excuses when before they were totally lying about it. Which is now a lot of men who came before me have been trumpeting this for years. And one of the things conservatives are not catching up to is saying that these laws are a reality. I don't care if you're a Christian, if you're a Jewish or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or you're secular or you're agnostic or whatever. These realities affect you because you live in this country, you're bound by its laws, and that doesn't matter to a lot of people because they think that, oh, I'm not a statistic, it's not going to apply to me. And we're going to look at Steven Crowder for a second and a woman responding to him seeing the realities of relationships that a lot of conservatives that are very high bar, high tier in the media like him, who have millions of followers, they are now seeing this reality play out when before they kind of took the same path that a lot of the mainstream media took, which was, oh, it's just these incels, it's just these bad men, it's just these guys who don't get any action, they're the issue. Now they're saying that, wait a minute, no, this could happen to me. And so some conservatives are seeing, they're waking up and smelling the coffee. Other people are still putting up this facade, they don't see it. And this is one of the reasons why conservatives are becoming more and more out of touch, and they're seeing guys like me on this side of the internet discuss the real, raw realities that a lot of us face, that too many people in polite society, they don't want to discuss because they don't want to step out of the grid lines of the game, the matrix, as you will. Let's see what this woman has to say about Steven Crowder and his divorce.
Married anymore. And in the state of Texas, that is completely permitted.
This is a clip in which Steven Crowder is bemoaning the fact that women in Texas are able to get out of marriages when they choose to. Steven Crowder and other conservative men do not believe women should have the choice of whether they stay in marriages or not.
Oh.
No-fault divorce is what they're coming for after our reproductive rights.
Oh.
They don't want us to be able to get out. They want us to be stuck. That is including in bad, physically bad marriages. No-fault divorce saves women's lives, but they don't care.
Lies.
Because they want us to be under their control and
lies.
Have a right to self-determination, not just in terms of our bodies, but in terms of our relationships.
Oh. Oh. Is it over? Oh, my. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. I want to apologize for sending you to hell, because that's what we just went through for the last, 52 seconds? Oh my goodness, brother.
This is the worst kind of discrimination, the kind against me.
I mean, let's just look at this woman. Is this even a woman, or is this the, I don't even know what the one I'm looking at. What is this? All I know is, I don't know what this is, but all I know is this. You're crazy. See, these are the kind of women who are running every institution, who are running entertainment, education, social media, mainstream media. They're running pretty much everything. And if you as a man say, hold on a second, no-fault divorce is being used by women to take community property, to take the kids for child support, and to alienate the man because they don't like the father as much as they love the children. They hate the father more than they love the children. Shout out to Coach Greg Adams. He was the first person I ever heard say that. These are the kind of people who be doing this. See, look at the eyes, dude. The eyes are the window to the soul. And when you look at eyes like this, you know this person is either on drugs or they're crazy or both. Trust me, as someone who's been in a mental hospital before, I've told the story multiple times on the show. When I was in the military, I was in a very bad place. I saw people who had eyes like this that were gone, straight Alice in Wonderland gone, okay? And so this is kind of what conservative men are starting to see. They're starting to see women like this right here that you're looking at pretend to be good women, only then to divorce them or to become feminists later in life because maybe they're hitting the wall, maybe they're bored, maybe they're, you know, unfulfilled in their marriage, whatever. But now they're leaving, and a lot of Christian men, conservative men, libertarian men, they're seeing these realities, and they're waking up to it. And the conservative movement as a whole has not shifted at all in this regard to a large extent. They are pretending like these realities are either not enough to affect the marketplace, or just it won't happen to you, so don't worry about it, which is the stupidest thing you could ever formulate for a strategy. But my friends, let me know what you think. I would love to hear your stories in the comments below. How has your political perspective shifted over the years? Or has it not shifted at all? Because there are some people who they stay the course no matter what happens, whatever might happen, whatever happens, they stay the course. And those people are a rare breed. Let me tell you, they're rare. Please tell me and other men and women listening to the show how your politics has changed over the years. Maybe you went from being conservative to being more progressive, or maybe you're a progressive who became a conservative. I don't like the term liberal, by the way. The term liberal actually meant people who liked liberty, but the communist socialist types commandeer just like everything else. That's what they're good at. They don't build anything. They just tear things down. They tore down the term liberal, which used to mean online Democrat, more conservative Democrat, now leans progressive social commie. So that's why I don't need like using the term liberal, because liberalism was once something that stood for liberty. Now it stands for Loserville, which is very unfortunate and sad. Speaking of unfortunate and sad, gentlemen, we're gonna give the Christian conservative women a platform for 2 seconds, And we're going to listen to, let me know what you think of this. How many of you have heard stuff like this?
Hey, if you're on Christian TikTok, I'm going to talk from my heart for just a quick second. And if you're upset, mad, or offended by what I say, okay. I'm sure that there are other Christians who feel the same way, but y'all are really starting to piss me off. There should really be no word to describe what kind of Christian that you are. Oh, I'm a progressive Christian. I'm a conservative Christian. I'm an organic Christian. Oh yeah, I'm a Calvinist. Oh, I'm Armenian. Some of y'all need to cut it with that crap. There's no subcategories when it comes to being a Christian. You are either a Christian or you are not. There is no in between. Some of y'all out there are putting way too much pride in these words than you are in this word. We're either a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian, or you're not. Quit trying to say, I'm progressive, I'm conservative, I'm organic, I'm Armenian, I'm a Calvinist. Just be a Christian.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, hell no!
First of all, I wanted to highlight something. Let's look at this comment section real quick. Let's look at this comment section. This is the comment I really wanted to highlight to you. Born again Christian is legit. So they accept this title. First of all, the biggest problem I have is it's the same people who create this kind of content are usually very insecure about being judged about their past. And they like to use this born again mentality to basically not only wash away sin, but wash away their entire consequences of their past. And a lot of people make their necessity a virtue, and they come to the table, they come to, whether it's conservative politics, the Christian church, the Muslim mosque, the Jewish synagogue, they come to these places and they want to repackage themselves. They want to say, you know what, I made a lot of mistakes, but now I want to give you a discount deal that no one else has taken. Apparently, it's supposed to be a great deal, but nobody else has taken it thus far. And that deal is being in a relationship with a person like that. Gentlemen, we need to watch out for this. And the reason I highlight relationships is because relationships are in my opinion, the most important decision you'll make in your life. And the reason I harp on it is because a lot of men make the wrong decision. They think it's the right decision in the moment. They think they're making the right choice. They're doing right by the woman. They're doing right by God, right by the community, whatever. But then it turns out to be right for everybody except for them. They take the brunt. They end up in a bad situation, an unfulfilling situation, a divorce situation. It could be any number of things. And they are the ones who take the flack for everything. They're the ones who invest. They're the ones who put all the risk into it. And then they're the ones who don't only not reap the benefits, but are left holding the bag when nothing is left at the end of it. They're blamed on the back end for everything that they invested as if they were the problem. Gentlemen, I'm not telling you to boycott marriage altogether. Do I encourage you to get married? Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is a lot of conservatives sound out of touch when they avoid this conversation, when they avoid the shifting nature of society towards the progressive side and say, instead of adapting and saying, look, we need to change our message a little bit to counter the change that's happening. Otherwise, we're going to be going the way of the dinosaur, or we're going to sound out of touch. We're going to sound like we're disconnected from a society, which is going to only allow other people to try to strawman us even easier than they already are. And so people who are conservative refuse to believe that we live in a very gynocentric society where women are the ones who rule over men in the courts. They rule over them and have the power in relationships. They rule over in the matters of family law, the courts, the court of public opinion, all of these things. And men refuse to believe that, largely because of their pride, and two, maybe because it's their hustle to say the exact opposite. Gentlemen, I'm not telling you to be afraid of women or of men, or of aliens, or anybody. I'm telling you to be aware of the realities you're living in so that you can adapt a proper philosophy you can live your life by to guide you when things get tough. You want to have a lighthouse to help guide you through the storms of life. And if you don't light that fuse, if you don't provide adequate fuel, if you don't allow yourself the proper rudder to steer your ship, you can have a really bright light for a lighthouse. But if you can't steer out of the storm, you're going to get carried away. And before you know it, you might get washed up on shore and have to go through a repair process, which is going to take even more time, more resources. And it's going to lead you to bitterness. It's going to lead you to being exploitable. We want to avoid being exploitable. But again, the conservative message needs to change and shift. And let me know if you think I'm out of line or you think I'm wrong. I would love to hear what you have to say, because this is a complex issue, which I believe has simple solutions. They're just unsavory to some and unthinkable for others. I don't think that this is extremely difficult to fix. It's just that people tend to be hard-headed. And tradition is a complicated concept, because people tend to not understand why they do what they do. They just do it. And to me, that totally conflicts with Napoleon Hill's idea of thinking for yourself. Because if you allow other people to do the thinking for you, you can't be shocked when it benefits them and not you. And the only way you can really provide to others is if you first provide for yourself. Because then you have something to give. My friends, please share, like I asked earlier, please feel free to share how your politics have shifted, how your view on relationships has shifted, how your life has been shaped by the philosophy you currently have. Even if it's completely conflicting with mine, that's totally fine. I would love to hear how you've navigated the difficult times of your life, how your politics stances have changed, maybe your religion has changed. How has your life shifted to survive and adapt in an ever-changing world? How have you avoided seeming out of touch, disconnected, and discombobulated? I'd love to hear it. My friends, please do your own research, think for yourself. I look forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments below. Till next time, I'm out of here. Peace.